Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
If you have your Bibles with you, open them to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read with verse 1. If you're a guest here, my name is Ray, one of the other pastors here at Calvary, and we are glad that you are with us this morning. Now, this is a kind of in-your-face passage, and we're going to walk through it together, okay? All right, here we go. Verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? That always gets me. Is that not a little humorous? Just a little. You know, there's a blank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What a way to end. And tear you to pieces. This is the word of the Lord, as Pastor Daniel says. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, let your word touch our hearts today. Let it go deep within us and challenge us, each in the unique way that it needs to. And through it all, we're going to give you all the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are in this series called On Earth as It Is in Heaven. On Earth as It Is in Heaven. And as you hear that title for the series, it surely makes you start to ask some questions. I hope it does. Perhaps one of the questions that has come up in the series is, what should be the same on earth as it is in heaven? Or why is that so important to have anything from heaven be on earth? You have to ask yourself, well, who's behind that statement? Or who told us it should be the same? If it should be the same on earth as it is in heaven, then what does it actually look like today? What is going to be the same? The answer to that question of what should be the same on earth as it is in heaven is found in a verse that has been up there. In fact, it's up there right now, a part of it. Matthew 6:10, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. Whose will? His will. The Father's kingdom, the Father's will. Who told us it should be the will of the Father that is practiced on earth as it is in heaven? Jesus the King. And so we take these things important. The key question for today is, what is the will of the Father? I mean, I've been pastoring a long time. You know, Pastor Ray, what's God's will for my life? Well, I can't answer that in whole, but I can certainly answer it in part today. You know, sometimes we see God's will for such questions as, what job should I take, or where should I live, or who should I marry, or should I move? A lot of people ask this one, should I move or should I stay? Now, these are worthy questions to ask, but I got to be honest with you. Sometimes God's will is just staring us in the face. Is that okay to say? Just staring us right in the face. Sometimes the will of the Father is so clear and spoken so clearly by Jesus that, to be honest, it's only willful ignorance on our part that will keep us from seeing it. Often God's will is less a hidden mystery and more of a call to walk as people of the kingdom, to walk as people of the kingdom of God and to reflect the character of heaven on earth. That's our calling. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, God's will is revealed in plain sight. There's no mystery to it. It's revealed. As Jesus preached and talked on things like reconciliation, purity of heart, truthfulness, mercy, humility, generosity, contentment, praying and trusting and seeking first the kingdom of God and refusing to spend our lives condemning one another. This is the will of the Lord. This is the will of God today. The will of the Father is less something to discover and more of something to embody. It's less something to discover and more of something to live on a daily basis. God's word is to be lived. It's not something to simply believe in. It's not something to even just pray for. It's embodied in how kingdom people, that's you and I, treat each other and respond to the people we encounter in the world today. That's where God's will is manifest. In chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's gospel, we know it as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus repeatedly reveals what the Father's will, what it should look like. That there should be reconciliation instead of hatred. That there should be purity instead of hypocrisy. That there should be forgiveness instead of bitterness. That there should be trust instead of anxiety. And that there should be humility instead of self-righteousness this morning. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." In other words, God's will becomes visible through the conduct, through how you and I live our lives. Is that making sense to everybody? Pretty straightforward. The world is meant to see heaven's values, to see heaven's ethics, to see heaven's conduct, or see it made visible through the conduct of God's people. The world is meant to see heaven's values and character, God's will through us. Here's the question. Let's turn it around for just a minute. What happens when the Spirit of heaven is absent from the way we treat others? I'll ask again. What happens when the Spirit of heaven is absent from the way we treat others? What happens when instead of mercy, there is condemnation? Instead of humility, there is arrogance and superiority. What happens where instead of restoration, there is accusation? This is where Jesus is going to take us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. The will, catch this, this is important. The will of the Father is revealed or distorted on earth in how we see and respond to the failures of others. The will of the Father is revealed or distorted on earth in how we see and respond to the failure of others. I'll say it this way, nothing is shaping us more, nothing is shaping our community more, nothing is shaping our country more than how we treat the weaknesses and the failures of others. So now we come to the plank and speck teaching of Jesus. The plank and speck teaching, I just love that. I'm gonna give you 4 points real quickly. Number one, heaven rejects condemnation. Heaven rejects condemnation. The Bible said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I mean, if that's not a, I almost said scary verse, but well, it is. That's a scary verse, isn't it? The same Jesus who tells us not to judge. Don't misunderstand Jesus. He's not telling us, we're gonna talk about removing the speck in a minute, but the same Jesus who tells us not to judge will also tell us to recognize false prophets, to also recognize that the fruit in someone's life and guard what is holy. This passage isn't teaching moral blindness. It's not a license in any way, shape, or form. The issue isn't whether kingdom people see sin, it's how kingdom people see people. It's how kingdom people see people. The culture of earth says things like this. The culture of earth says expose, shame, accuse, blame, condemn. But the culture of heaven is different. The culture of heaven says restore, reconcile, redeem, forgive, show mercy, walk humbly. Jesus warns. He starts out, "Do not judge or you'll be judged." But then he adds to that warning. He said this, "With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." The Spirit, a couple of things on this point. The Spirit we extend toward others reveals the Spirit that's ruling in our lives. Again, I think that was important if I'm gonna say that one again. The Spirit we extend toward others reveals the Spirit that's ruling in us. A harsh heart creates harsh measure. A merciful heart creates a merciful measure. When we pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," what we're praying for is we're praying for heaven to invade our human relationships. We're praying for heaven to invade our human interactions. We're praying for kingdom mercy to invade our hearts. We're seeking the Spirit of God to bring upon each of us a spirit of humility today. The Spirit of heaven does not bring condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. James chapter 2 and verse 13, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. And I love this next part. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I don't expect anyone to jump down, but an occasional amen would be okay. It's legal. I'm going to read it again. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. Thank you for the four of the amens. Pastor Ray, I know what he's doing. He wants us to ignore sin. He wants us to ignore sin. Listen, one thing ought to be clear by now. Heaven does not ignore sin. If the cross shouts anything, heaven takes sin seriously. The death and resurrection of Jesus points to the fact that God takes sin seriously. But heaven responds to sin differently than earth. Heaven responds redemptively. The cross shouts redemption. Truth, the truth of the cross, the sin that Jesus bore upon his shoulders, is immersed in mercy, that whoever will come to him will find life and life everlasting. Number two, heaven begins with, if heaven's going to come to earth, it begins with self-examination. I'm not crazy about this either, but let's get through it. Heaven begins with self-examination. Now, this is amazing imagery. This is amazing word pictures. I love what Jesus is doing here. Jesus always used some word picture in his parables. He used hyperbole. That's a big word that simply means intentional exaggeration. He exaggerated stuff to make a point. He used word pictures to capture the attention of his audience. He used word pictures, imagery, and hyperbole and other things that he had at his disposal to not only keep their attention, but to bring home the point. Let me give you some examples. How about the one where he's talked about the camel through the eye of a needle? That's hyperbole. We all know that a camel will not fit through the eye of a needle. The Pharisees, you remember when he said they strain out a gnat from, it's from their drink, by the way, but they swallow a camel? They're worried about this little bitty gnat. And all the while, they're swallowing a camel. That's hyperbole. Imagery would be the blind leading the blind. I mean, get those pictures in your mind today. And then Matthew chapter 7, it's probably my favorite. Even first century people would have seen the absurdity of what he was saying. Because he wasn't just talking about a little stick in the ice. He's talking about a log, a beam, a construction beam that was stuck in the eye of a person who was about to try and get the speck of sawdust out of someone else's eye. I mean, get that picture in your mind. Go home and look up pictures of that. I mean, it is truly an amazing, amazing picture. You know, this guy who's walking around, he's got this huge beam in his eye. He thinks he's an ophthalmologist. He thinks he can fix someone else. And so he sees someone with a speck of sawdust in their eye and he says, I can fix that. By the way, this text isn't about the bigger sin. This text is about self-righteousness. This text is about pride. It's about spiritual blindness. It's about hypocrisy today. Earth's instinct is to examine others, to expose others, to analyze others, to critique others, and to shame others. It's not heaven's instinct. Heaven's instinct is to examine oneself first. Heaven's instinct is to say to each of us, before you look at others, search your own heart. Check the plank in your own eye. Check the plank in your own eye. David prayed this prayer in Psalm 139. He said, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, search my heart today. You know, I don't want to go off on too many tangents. I mean, this sentence is in my notes, but I could spend an hour on it. But you know what? Revivals and awakenings that we're longing for in this nation, it doesn't start with those people out there. It starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you. If we want true revival, then we have to take seriously the words of Jesus, and we have to pray this prayer. Don't pray, Lord, expose their heart. Lord, expose their sin. Lord, expose their shortcomings. No, 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 no. Lord, expose my heart. Expose my sin. Expose my shortcomings today. That's where it starts. Heaven hates pride. I mean, we read that in the Old Testament. We read it in the New, Proverbs 16 and 5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. God hates pride. How about James chapter 4 and verse 6? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes, not just dislikes, he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 6, it's a pride problem. It's a self-righteousness problem today. Pride magnifies. See if you can finish this sentence, not out loud, but see if you can in your mind. Pride magnifies the failures of others and minimizes our own, minimizes mine. It assumes our superiority. Humility, the Bible said, on the other hand, receives grace. It sees clearly. It restores gently. It recognizes our own shortcomings before looking at the shortcomings of others. Before correcting others, I don't know how else to say it. We got to deal with our own stuff. We got to deal with us. And by the way, we need to stop dressing up our pride in spiritual clothes so that we can judge other people and feel good about it. Just nod your heads. Jesus said, quite plainly, don't judge or you'll be judged. Then he said, first, take the plank, the beam, the log, in some translations, the log out of your own eye. You know, when it comes to God's will, Pastor Ray, what's God's will for me? I may not have always said it, but here's what I thought. I don't know. What's God's will? We may not always know where God wants us to live, or what decision he wants us to make, or what door he's going to open next. But I'm going to tell you something. We can know God's will with certainty. Humility is God's will. Mercy is God's will. Forgiveness is God's will. Contentment is God's will. Self-examination is God's will for me and for you today. Number three, heaven restores humility. Heaven restores humility. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus isn't saying ignore the speck. No, it's got to be dealt with. Jesus doesn't say ignore the speck, but he says when you see clearly enough in your own soul and towards yourself and you see yourself as God sees you, then and only then can you go remove the speck or whatever that other person is dealing with. And it's not so that we can condemn them. It's so that we can what? Restore them. The goal is not indifference, or it's not winning, or it's not shaming. The goal is restoration. And anytime you use the words like restoration or reconciliation, they can only be from someone who understands the word humility. Humility today. Heaven is not morally indifferent. We've already established that with the cross. Again, the death of Jesus proves that. But neither is it the cause of heaven to be self-righteous. And I got to be honest with you. Part of the Lord led me to this is because I think that's an issue for some of us today. Is that okay? It's an issue for me sometimes. There's a difference between discernment and condemnation. There's a difference between correction and superiority. There's a difference between restoration and condemning someone today. Walking in humility does one thing. It improves our eyesight. It improves our vision this morning. When we see ourselves as the one needing grace, when we see ourselves that we need to walk in humility, when we see all those things about ourselves, then and only then can we extend grace to someone else. And we can see them not as their sin, but as a person that God wants to redeem, that God wants to restore, that God wants to reconcile. This is the call today of this passage of Scripture. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of what? Of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Why gentleness? Why gentleness? Because that's what I need. I need gentleness. Why gentleness? Because that's what I want. I want gentleness. I need gentleness today because there is no one, I'll be honest with you today, there's no one who needs mercy more than me. And we acknowledge, I acknowledge that that then and only then, as I have received grace and mercy from God, can I be merciful and extend grace to other people. You know, just on, friends, this could change life as we know it. I know there's a lot of ways we want to change everything, but I have this crazy notion that if we could learn words like gentleness, if we could learn words like mercy, if we could learn words like humility, it could change our marriages. It could change our marriages today. It could change our parenting. I wish I had preached this message 30 years ago. Because I think, I got to be honest with you, it almost makes me weep. I wish I would have grabbed hold of some of these truths as a young family, and we have many young families in this church, that humility and grace and mercy and gentleness can change our families, can change our marriages, can change everything about who we are. When condemnation, if I might take that further, when condemnation is the message of the church, people hide. When condemnation is the message of the church, people hide. And I'm going to tell you something else. Confession dies. Because no one's going to confess. No one's going to be real in a place where they think if they really knew me, they wouldn't love me. And then what happens is appearances matter more than honesty. We have to appear that when the pastor comes by and shakes your hand with his cold hand, how you doing? Then we simply have to say, I'm fine. Because appearances matter more than honesty. And what happens in the church, for we who are called according to his purpose, the anointing and the mission of and the voice of we, the church, it gets lost in the distraction of self-righteousness. It gets lost in the distraction of pride and of judging one another. Where there is humility and mercy, repentance becomes safe. We can be honest because we know that we're in a group of people that no matter what we say, we'll be loved. Healing becomes possible and mercy becomes visible and the church rises in Holy Spirit power and we take on the mission of God in anointed power, preaching the gospel of Jesus to a world because they become hungry for what we have because they have seen a difference in us. And the will of God is established on earth as it is in heaven. You know what? I've been in courtrooms and I've been in hospitals. I've been in courtrooms, not as a defendant. I'm just saying, in case you're wondering. I've been in courtrooms. Just visited a friend over at Tacoma General. Hear what I'm about to say. The church needs to stop being a courtroom looking for convictions. The church needs to become a hospital that seeks the healing of others, the restoration of other people. Jesus immersed himself in truth, but he also immersed himself in mercy. Jesus spoke truth from the cross, but it was lavishly poured over with mercy that whoever would come while being a sinner, he would redeem and restore today. Sin was taken seriously, but mercy was lavishly offered. This is heaven invading earth. Number four. We got to deal with it. Heaven practices wise discernment. Do not give dogs what is sacred and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Let's close in prayer. No. Wow. Wow. You know, at first this verse feels disconnected. It feels like the antithesis of what Jesus was just saying, but it's not. It balances what Jesus just said. And if you take no other notes, write this down. Kingdom mercy is not naive. Kingdom mercy is not naive. Jesus is saying be humble, be merciful, but also be discerning. Be humble, be merciful. I feel like we should practice this, but we won't. Be humble, be merciful, be discerning. All three go together. Humility, mercy, and discernment. Every heart that you talk to, and I'm going to apply this to where it normally is, it requires wisdom to know that you can be merciful, you can be respectful, you can be all those things, and the person you're talking to may or may not receive the message. Is that okay to say? And it requires discernment. Not every conversation is received. Not every conversation is fruitful. Not every situation can be handled the same way. And it requires discernment. With hearts of mercy and with hearts of humility, we have to be able to discern. Discernment, however, is not condemnation. Just because they don't act or respond the way that you want them to, don't click the switch from discernment to condemnation. Condemnation says, I stand above you. Discernment says, what wisdom, what Holy Spirit wisdom do I need in this given situation today? There were times Jesus remained silent. There were times Jesus walked away from conversation. There were times he chose not to engage people, not because he lacked love, but because he was wise enough to know when to engage and when not to engage. Jesus was merciful, humble, and discerning, but he was not gullible. He wasn't gullible. And if there is a bit of struggle, I think sometimes for we Christians, sometimes we're gullible. Painfully so. You know, I'm going to come back to that dog and pig thing in a minute. A friend of mine texted me this last week, or was it, may have been the week before. It would have been the week before, on Friday or Saturday. And we text a lot. He's fast. And he texted me, and he was letting me know that he'd gone to this event, and I was at the hospital, couldn't go. And he said, yeah, it was really good. This guy got up to speak that, you know, honestly, people struggled with. And he said, and we Christians, we didn't boo. And he was saying it tongue in cheek. And I texted back slowly. I said, you know, it feels like we've lowered the bar a lot when the most we can expect from Christians is not to boo. Pastor Ray, they didn't boo. Yay! That's a win. Is it? Had another friend who introduced that person who was a little downhearted when I saw him last Sunday, because he took a lot of flack for introducing and not beating the guy up. Now that I could understand. Friends, it seems like we've lowered the bar to such degree that if we don't boo, we're doing good. If we don't explode, we're doing good. If we don't this or that, I just think it's time to raise the bar. I think what I need and what we need and what our community needs and what our nation needs is humility, mercy, and discernment. Humility, mercy, and discernment. It's not about winning. It's not about shaming. It's not about being right. It's not all those things. It's about being people that are windows into the glory and the presence of Jesus who died on the cross. At some point, you and I have to decide who's going to be our king. Now, we just sang that song, All Hail King Jesus. And if he's the king, and he just told us, don't judge. What measure you mete it out, you're going to get it back. Before you deal with others, people's speck of dust, deal with the plank in your own eye. This is the call of you and I today, to be people who examine, to be people of humility, mercy, and discernment, who want something more. We went to Disneyland three weeks ago, which is continually overpriced and overcrowded. One day we were there, they shut it down. No one else could buy a ticket. You know, I don't mean to go off on a tangent. I have no time. But I find it odd that we talk about our economy. Never mind. We're walking. We parked at the Garden Walk across the street from Disneyland and walked over. And there's this guy out there with one of those, I would say a bullhorn, amplified thing. Megaphone, thank you, that'll work. And I know this is church and I'm not supposed to say it this way, but I'm gonna tell you how it felt. He was beating the crap out of people. He was just beating them up. You're gonna die in your sin. Okay. Now, I'm not gonna argue with the truth of it, but it was his delivery. It was almost as he was gleeful and happy that they were gonna turn and burn. If they didn't turn, they were gonna burn. That they had a one-way ticket. I mean, he just went on and on and on. By the third time I walked by him, Mary, I'll tell you, I finally had a little bit of enough, and I said some things to him, and I regret it later. But the minute I did, you know what he wanted? Now, see, the right response would be, you know what? Tell me where you don't. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Let's come to a meeting of the minds. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to fight. He wanted to fight. He wanted to argue. He wanted to say, well, you need to be a man, on and on. And the only reason I bring that up is sometimes it seems like that it's not the people out there that'll tear you to pieces. Sometimes it's the people inside the church that if we're not careful, can tear you up. I don't know about you, but I think we need a new reputation. I think if we're gonna be followers of Jesus, we ought to act like followers of Jesus. Call me crazy. You say, well, Ray, I think we gotta win and we gotta strike down and we gotta do this and we gotta, you know what? It's not working. Can I just tell you, whatever the plan is, it's not working. Yeah, but no buts, it's not working. New plan. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How's that for a strategy? How's that for a plan? Your kingdom come, your kingdom of grace and of mercy. Now those words are wimpy, Pastor Ray. We need words of victory and success and all those words that we've turned into nothing. Let's be people of grace and humility and mercy. Let it begin with me. You know, yesterday and last night as I was listening, and then they came out, and you guys get ready for communion, and you guys come out, and I was standing right there, and I thought, you know what? I don't want to end on that verse 6. That's a tough verse to end on. And the dogs will tear you to pieces, and the pigs will trample, and they'll turn on you and eat you. But I was listening to their song, and I thought to myself, I said, self, for the focus right here, I know they're all coming, the action's gonna start taking place all around us. I guess we're gonna take communion. There comes that moment for a people, for a church, for me and for you, where we have to decide. There comes that decision to write a new story. I think that was the song. There comes that moment when the Hebrew children, those three who are standing before the fiery furnace, they have to choose they're gonna trust God in spite of the flames. There's that moment of decision. There's that moment of decision where Daniel is in the lion's den, and he's got to choose whether he's going to run and flee from the lions or he's going to bow his knees to pray. There comes a moment when Peter has to decide if he's going to get out of the boat or not and walk toward Jesus. There comes a moment where David is going to pick up those stones and he's going to say, I bet I can hit him. I bet with God's help I can take him. There is in everybody's life that moment where we decide and we choose how we're going to live. There's that moment where we're going to choose, what is the will of God for me? Do I want heaven on earth? Do I want his will to be accomplished in me? There comes a moment of decision, a moment of choice. And for us, for some of us, maybe that's today. Maybe today is the day where we decide, that I want to look deep inside where no one else can see. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, that before we take communion, the Bible says we should examine ourselves, that we don't eat or drink if there's some stuff on the table that we need to deal with. And if I'm here today, if you're here today and we need to deal with those things, then we need to deal with them before we receive communion. So we're going to sing and the ushers are going to come and we're going to partake together. But let this be the moment where Christ writes a new story for you today.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.